We're going to have our Bible reading for this morning, and Arne is going to come and read for us.
Our Bible reading this morning is taken from Genesis 32, verses 22 to 32. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overcome him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he replied. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. Amen.
Thank you, Arne. Does anyone know where the next Olympic Games will take place? America, yeah, California in America in 2028. Does anyone know, there's not a quiz by the way, but does anyone know the most recent sport in the Olympics? The recent?
Skateboarding.
Not skateboarding. Not basketball. Breakdancing. Who said breakdancing? Would you like to come and demonstrate that? Breakdancing, that's right. That was in Paris in 2024. Does anybody know the oldest sport? Not football. Not cricket, no.
Wrestling.
It is indeed wrestling. As far as we know, anyway. Some might say it would be running. That might seem the obvious one. But there are cave drawings, paintings that depict people wrestling that date back to around 15,000 years. BC, also in Greek pottery and in Egyptian tombs. So who knows, maybe wrestling is the first known sport. And for many years, people would wrestle naked, no clothes on. So when you think about it, wrestling is probably the most physical, intimate sport. And you walk onto a mat, you shake hands with a complete stranger, and you grapple with each other. Your flesh on their flesh, your skin on their skin, your sweat on their sweat. And the whole point, of course, of wrestling is that you pin their body to the ground. Well, this morning, wrestling takes center stage in the life of Jacob. But in actual fact, I think we could safely say that Jacob's been wrestling all his life. Let's just remind ourselves of the context, and then we'll look at this morning's passage. As I'm sure you know by now, it's been 20 years since Jacob fled from the Promised Land because his brother Esau vowed to kill him because he stole his birthright and his father's blessing. And now Jacob is preparing to go home and to meet Esau, his brother, after those 20 years. And he's doing so knowing that Esau still intends on killing him. In fact, he's only just heard that he's coming towards Jacob with 400 men. So that doesn't sound good, does it? And Jacob, as we saw last time, does all he can to try to ensure a safe passage home, sending wave of gifts, you know, wave after wave of gifts to his brother Esau to try to soften him, pacify him with generosity. And then Jacob does something we didn't have time to look at it last week, but he does something that we haven't seen him do before, and that is pray. And so there's a prayer recorded, Jacob's prayer. And actually, it's a very helpful and insightful prayer. We don't have time this morning, but he prays. And perhaps we can understand why he would pray in the predicament he finds himself in. Again, what is interesting, I think, he never refers, even in the prayer, he never refers to God as my God. In the prayer, he refers to the God of my father Abraham and the God of my father Isaac. But that is all about to change. In our passage this morning, Jacob is about to meet God and know him personally. So if you've got a Bible, you might want to open it to Genesis 32. Now, the passage that, that we just heard read is very rugged. It's a very raw kind of feeling to it. Feels ancient. And I like this point that Tim Keller makes, an interesting point. He says, Jacob is returning home simply because God told him to go home. It's time to go home. God has not told him it's safe to go home. He's not saying to Jacob, don't need to worry about Esau, I've dealt with that. So he's going home, Tim Keller says, knowing it could cost him his life. And he's doing it simply because God told him to do so. And he asks this question, how would you expect God to respond to someone like that? Someone who is acting in obedience to God, possibly at the cost of his own life. It's a good question, isn't it? How would you expect God to respond to someone like that? Well, God's response is to tackle him to the ground and give him a permanent wound. Now, we have all sorts of assumptions, I think, about God and how God works and how God deals with his people and how God works out his purposes. And I think right here, we have a challenge to some of our assumptions. God does indeed work in mysterious ways. And I don't think we would have expected God to come and tackle Jacob, wrestle him to the ground and give him a permanent wound. After all, he's following God with full-hearted obedience into a very, very, you know, difficult situation. Okay, let's turn to Genesis 32. Up until this point, there's been two main themes that have been running right through Jacob's life, and they kind of culminate, if you like, or come to a climax in this passage. The two themes are wrestling and blessing. So let's start with wrestling. So verse 22. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak. Now Jacob has always been a grabber. He's always been a man who knows what he wants and has been determined to get it. Now he's been grasping and grabbing and grappling all his life. In other words, I think we can say he's a wrestler. He's a wrestler. Jacob is a wrestler, and God comes and wrestles the wrestler. He grabs the grabber. God meets Jacob where he is, so to speak, and how he is. God even condescends to match Jacob's power. So you notice this, that they wrestled all through the night, which implies that they were fairly evenly matched, right up until the end. God condescending as he meets with Jacob, as he does when he meets with us. He has to, doesn't he? And I don't think Jacob is immediately aware that the one he's wrestling with is God himself, but I think it does become clear to him later on. But why is God wrestling with him? Think about it this way. All through his life, he's been wrestling people to get what he wants. And I think if you were to ask Jacob, and he were to answer honestly, he would have to say that he wrestled his brother Esau to get his birthright, that he wrestled his father Isaac for his blessing, he wrestled his uncle Laban for his daughters and his flock. And if he was honest, he would say he's about to face his final wrestling match with Esau, his brother. Esau is the only person standing between Jacob and freedom, and Jacob and his happiness, if you like. For Jacob's showdown with Esau is the big collision point of his life. And yet before that happens, we have this mysterious figure stepping out from the shadows and tackling him to the ground. Why is God doing that? What is God saying? I think what God might be saying to Jacob, perhaps something like this: Jacob, you've been wrestling with the wrong people. Your real struggle is not with Esau. Your real struggle is with me. I am the one you have to face to face. You know, Jacob, you thought you can get through life by securing happiness and contentment and fulfillment in all sorts of ways, by grabbing this and grabbing that. And you thought the main fight for your life was tomorrow with your brother Esau. All the while you've been avoiding me. I am the one you need to face. Esau does not hold the keys to life. I hold the keys to life, to your life. So God wrestles the wrestler. Another major theme is blessing, isn't it? Jacob's whole life has been about getting what he thinks will make life work for him. You know, a better birthright, a beautiful wife, lots of children, lots of flocks, and just now a safe passage home. Now, why is he like that? Well, aren't we all like that? Isn't that just part of being human? Jacob wants the same things that you and I want. You know, fullness of life, peace, comfort, security, family, community. We all desire a blessed life. God, I think, has put that desire within us. We long for it and we wrestle for it in all sorts of ways. And here we see Jacob desperately trying to get a life that truly satisfies. He tries to find it in the approval of his father Isaac, in the inheritance of his brother, in the beauty of a woman, and then another woman, and then another woman, and yet another woman, and the abundance of livestock. But just like Jacob, you and I were not born to know where to look. You know, he spent his entire life looking in the wrong place for this blessed life. But he wasn't born to know where to look. And neither were we. So he comes face to face with the one, the only one who holds the blessing. And there's a moment, I think, when it all comes together for Jacob. A bit of a light bulb moment, a moment when the penny finally drops and suddenly he realizes who it is he's wrestling with. Remember, Jacob doesn't know this at first, but God does something that convinces him. He does something so astonishing. Verse 25. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So remember, they've been wrestling all night, you know, for hours. And then with just one touch, Jacob finds himself flat on the ground. You could ask the question, why his hip? Well, I guess when you're wrestling, the aim is to get the other person on the ground, and your hips are your leverage points, aren't they? That's where your power and strength comes from. So they've been locked in battle for this long night, and then just a touch. Just a touch, and Jacob is taken out, so to speak. But you don't dislocate someone's hip with just a touch. This is his light bulb moment. The moment when he recognizes that it is God he's been wrestling with. What does he say? "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Jacob finally realizes that he has come face to face with the only one who can truly bless him. At that moment, Jacob the grabber must have been thinking, "I have finally grabbed on to the true source of blessing," and he was not going to let go. Jacob Jacob finally gets a blessing from God himself, the source of life. But let's not brush over that so quickly. The blessing, what was it? Was it money or success? What was it? It was a new name and a dislocated hip. That was the blessing. So I just want to say something very briefly on both of those. Verse 28. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. Perhaps you know this, that Israel means struggles with God. Jacob was to have yet another son. He would eventually have 12 sons who would then go on to form the nation of Israel. Israel, chosen by God to be his people, would be a people who wrestled with God. Who would hold on to God and not let go. For they would be entangled with God, face to face, eyeball to eyeball, skin on skin, if you like. Israel was to be a people who would wrestle with God, who would get up close and personal. We see that, I think, most clearly in the Psalms. The Psalms are a people wrestling with God. How long, O Lord? Why, O Lord? You know, will you forget me forever? You know, wrestling. Will you abandon us? Have you forgotten us? A people who wrestle with God. What about the hip? Can a dislocated hip be a blessing? I think most of us would probably answer no to that. Verse 31. I think gives us a very telling, a very compelling picture of Jacob. The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. And if you've got your Bible open, or perhaps you know, Peniel means the face of God. So here is Jacob limping as he walks off and the sun rises in the distance. And this is part of his blessing. Is it a blessing? Was the hip designed to hurt him? Or was it designed to heal him? I think it was designed to heal him and to humble him. A permanent reminder of his own insufficiency and God's sufficiency. A reminder of God's grace. You know, if Jacob took any moment to look in the mirror, as it were, he knew what kind of a person he was, as we do. And I think the hip being dislocated was a permanent reminder of God's love, and God's grace, and God's presence always in his life. For me, it was a mark of healing. It was indeed a blessing. So Jacob, finally, he doesn't need to wrestle anymore. He doesn't need to wrestle to get things, whether it's material things or approval. He's got God's blessing. And he's not going to let go of that, because that is enough. he finally has come home. He's met God face to face. He's struggled with God. And perhaps there's something there for us as well, isn't there? Do we struggle with God? Do we ask questions? Do we ever shout or scream? Do we ever get angry? Do we wrestle with God? Where are you? What are you doing? Why this? It's interesting, isn't it, that Jacob, the wrestler, met God who wrestled him to the ground. And Israel becomes a nation who would wrestle a people whose DNA, if you like, was a people who would wrestle with God. I think we are to be the same. People who just don't take easy answers about our faith or about God himself, but are prepared to wrestle, you know, eyeball to eyeball, face to face. Because God is more than able, and I'm sure God would relish that kind of relationship with us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for your love and your grace. Lord, thank you for the way you've dealt with Jacob that we've been studying for some weeks now. How he faltered again and again. How his attitude and thinking was far from pleasing to you. And yet you never gave up on him. And Father, as he came to know you personally, as it were, up close and personal, face to face, Lord, would you help us to grow that kind of relationship with you, that we too would learn what it is to wrestle with you. Lord, thank you for all the blessings you give us. Lord, indeed, far too numerous to count. We are a blessed people. And Lord, as such, we pray that you'd help us as we go into this new week to share blessings with others, to be a blessing, to share the ultimate blessing, who is indeed your Son, Jesus. Lord, fill us afresh with your Spirit. Send us out, Lord. Equip us. Go with us, we pray, that we might see you at work in our lives, bringing change to others and to ourselves. So hear our prayer, Lord, as we offer you the praise and adoration of our hearts. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.